is the third Sunday of Advent, and today we talk about how to proclaim the name of Jesus and the call for our lives to proclaim. I mean, the word proclamation is a word that we know so well in our lives, right? We are always proclaiming something. We are always trying to tell people about something that is important, something that is cool, or something that is going on in our lives. I mean, throughout the week, we go out on proclaiming the good news of whatever to our lives, to our friends, family, and so on and so forth. I mean, one of the ways that proclamation comes to us today in our everyday lives is how parents tell the world about the sex of the baby that they're about to have. How many of you guys have seen one of those videos on Facebook, right? And some of them go wrong. Have you ever seen some of them go wrong? I love the one I was watching a few months ago about the mom and dad gets the cake and they cut it and all the colors are there. And I'm like, well, that's not right. I was watching just one this morning about a friend of mine in Brazil. They're having a kid. They're expecting a baby, and they announced to the people that they are having a baby, and now they wanted to pronounce, the sex of the baby. And they had a box, and in the front of the box said, "For this child, we prayed for," or something like that. And quoting from for Samuel, so the mom is there, the dad's there, they're all excited, people around excited, and so the mom and dad grabs the lid, one on each side, and on three, they open up the lid, and balloons comes out, right? Have you ever seen those? Balloons comes out, and it was pink. It was pink, and the mom is like, yeah, and the dad was like, more or less how I felt. No, I'm joking. I'm glad Anna's not here. We're always proclaiming something, right? Proclamation is something that is true and it is alive and well within us in the world in which we live. I believe that for the last few weeks that we have been talking about Jesus, he came. There was the expectation of a baby, of the Messiah, and he came. And he became a baby, a poor, a refugee. And we went through all of that. So Jesus went through all of that so that we could become children of God. And now, as we wait his return, as we wait Jesus' second coming, as we wait for his return, we proclaim the good news of the gospel. And the theme that I have for you is this, that as we wait his second coming, his return, we proclaim Jesus. We proclaim the gospel by joining God in his mission and fulfilling our unique purpose on God's plan for us. We ought to be reminded that today that God is a God of surprises. He's a revolutionary God. He's turning people's life upside down. When you join God's message, when you join God's mission and you embrace his message, I mean, it just turns our lives upside down. And Jesus knowing that, he proclaimed the mission of God and how he was joining that in Luke chapter 4 verses 18. I have it up there for you. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 from the ESV Bible said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, when he grew and he now started his ministry, he goes to the synagogue and he's given opportunity to preach. He's given the book of Isaiah. He could have scrolled that book anywhere, but he chooses Isaiah 61:1. And that's what he reads. He reads and proclaims to the whole people, to the whole group of people who was in the synagogue that day, that Jesus himself is proclaiming the mission of God by joining God in what he's doing. The last statement, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It really means to reconcile and to bring peace to the world. Jesus is saying on this passage that he came on earth to proclaim and to join God in his mission and to fulfill his unique role. And that's what we ought to do also. I don't know about you, but during Christmas times, we do all this liturgy, all these traditional things. Like, we read Old Testament stories, and we read the prophets and what they said, and we like meditate over the Christmas story and how a baby came, and Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and we read all of that. We light up candles and we sing songs, and we sit around the fire with our kids, and our house we read Advent readings, and we do all these things. But sometimes I find myself asking the question. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have. I find myself asking the question, what is the purpose of all of this? Why all of this matter? Have you ever asked that question? I mean, why? Why singing songs and why lighting candles and why remembering all of this? Why it all matters? Let me ask an unrelated question, okay? What is the best way to celebrate Christmas? I mean, how you like it to do that? What is the best way of celebrating Christmas? And all of us, we have different traditions and different way of doing things, right? And for many, celebrating Christmas is like being with the best way of celebrating Christmas, being with families and have good food and hot chocolate, you know, drink and lots of presents, you know. You can't forget the gingerbread cookies, right? We got to have those. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas like that. Nothing wrong with putting Christmas trees and ornaments and so on and so forth. But to make a Christmas all about that, it doesn't make it a little bit meaningless? Some people, some others will say, you know, just think Christmas is about remembering Jesus and the acts of God and back in the day. And once again, just remembering God, just remember what Jesus did, kind of seems to me a little bit meaningless. There must be a better answer, right? One that brings meaning to the whole season. One that brings meaning to our lives within the season. And I believe that the answer for both questions is related. The question of why is it matter and what is the best way of celebrating. I believe that the answer is this, because God has a unique purpose to fulfill for you and I to fulfill in his mission on earth. So many of us make Christmas about Jesus coming to save us for our sins and just so we can go to heaven. That's cool. That's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that Jesus not only saved you to heaven, he saved you to join God's mission right here and right now for what God is doing. God has a mission, and you have a unique role in the mission of God in this world. And the best way to celebrate Christmas and to make Christmas meaningful is to join him in his purpose right here and right now on earth. It's to live out that which God has for you and I. So I have a statement for you up there that says this: the best way of celebrating Christmas is to proclaim God's plan by joining God in his mission to the world by fulfilling our unique purpose. God, as Jesus said on Luke chapter 4, 18, wants to heal and reconcile the world. And that's the mission that we join. And we have our unique purpose on it. I have a personal question for you. Do you know that God has a unique purpose for you in the world today? Do you know that God has thought of you and knew the part that you would play in his mission right here and right now? Do you know that Christmas, Jesus' birth, was God's first step in his plan to see you living your unique purpose right here and right now on earth? I believe that biblically speaking, celebrating Christmas is not sitting on a couch looking on a tree or the nativity or eating cookies. I believe that celebrating Christmas is seeing Luke chapter 4 verse 18 being fulfilled in your life. And if there are two things that this passage teaches us, is that God has a plan and he has a unique role for you. And God's plan is that Jesus came to bring every single person to the kingdom of God. God's desire is for everyone to be saved. And your unique role in it is that we would fulfill God's plan by right living in right relationships. Many have asked the question, what purpose does God have for my life as a Christian right here on planet Earth? That's another question that I have wrestled with, and I'm sure many have. I believe one of the biggest surprises of Christmas was that Jesus came so that we could join Him in God's mission to save the whole entire world. You and I, humans, faulty, were chosen by God to join Jesus in His plan to save the whole entire world. Isn't that humbling and exciting at the same time? God's purpose for you is to join Him in what He is doing on earth. I love when Paul says this on Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. He says this, For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to remain in the flesh, it will mean fruitful labor for me. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 21, we see this. Paul tells us, we proclaim Jesus Christ by instructing and teaching all people with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. It's not only Paul who talks about this proclamation and join God in His mission of saving the world. Peter also does that in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. And this is what he says, you are a people of His own. You are a people of God. In a different translation, it says, His treasure possession. So that, your purpose, so that you may proclaim the virtues of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Every single time that you read in the Bible the little word, so that conjunction word, that means that God is giving you a purpose. That is a purpose statement, right? I give you a candy so that you would eat it, right? I give you money so that you would expend it. Some people would say save it. I'm a spender, so here you go. So that it means a purpose. So here Peter tells us of God's purpose for you and I. One of them is that we would proclaim the virtues of the one who called you. That is an awesome thing, an awesome call to have. Do you know that you have the ability to proclaim with your life the virtues of God? Have you ever thought of that? Do you have within you the ability to proclaim to those around you with your life the virtues of God? We ought to proclaim. That's our call. Many people have asked the question, if we ought to proclaim, what is the best way to proclaim the gospel? What is the best way to proclaim the virtues of God? How do we proclaim God? And some think that the best way of doing that is to rent this huge, large electronic like bullhorn on a car and drive around town proclaiming it, the good news. Some other think that by judging people and pointing fingers on their brokenness is the best way to proclaim the gospel. Some other might think it is rejecting and ignoring people for being different than you are. Some will even think that the best way is to just create a Facebook post where you are, through the name of Jesus, you bull people into Christianity. This might all be techniques that people might think it is appropriate, and some maybe different circumstances might lead to that. But I believe that biblically, the Apostle Peter tells us of a better way of proclaiming the name of Jesus, proclaiming the message of God, enjoying God's message. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says this to us. Friends, this world is not your home. Do not make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they will be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when He arrives. Peter tells us that the best way to proclaim it is living, not speaking. A lot of us think that the best way it is to speak or to write. Peter tells us, listen, the best way to proclaim God and his virtues and to bring people closer to Jesus is by how you live your life. Instead of following this primary purpose with instructions on how to best verbalize our faith, Peter first focused on how we live our faith out. He's concerned how we're going to fulfill God's unique purpose for you and I in his plan for earth. He clearly points out to our behavior. If kept excellent in purity and good deeds, he tells us if you live it rightly, you will attract the attentions of non-Christians, causing them to consider the work of Christ in this world. I hear people talk about how people are waging war against Christmas all the time. And I'm thinking, maybe people is waging war on Christmas because Christians, you and I, are not fulfilling our unique purpose on earth by living good lives. We see that the reason God calls us to excellent behavior is not that we would inherit the eternal life or go to heaven. We don't work for salvation. Salvation is the act of God and is given to us by grace, and we gain it by faith in Jesus. It is not to gain heaven, but rather to convince other people of their need for salvation. Right living leads people to understand their need for a Savior. How we live our lives, whether bring people closer to Jesus or drive people away from Jesus. The Apostle Peter continues to describe ways in which we should proclaim Christ. And he tells us on the rest of the passage, chapter 2, verses 13 and 17, how to do that. And he focuses on relationships. This is what he says. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God that by doing good, you the ignorance of the fools who think you are a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. I love that last statement. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Now, he not only focused on the first part of that passage on living your life. Now, he says, listen, you want to proclaim God? You want to proclaim his good news? You got to have good relationship with people. If there's one season in our lives where we know we don't have good relationship with people, it's Christmas, right? We go to parties and our family parties, and we are looking with our corner of our eyes to those we dislike. Peter, in these verses, is pointing out that having godly relationship, acting godly in our relationship, it is important, and it is a very important way of proclaiming Jesus Christ. What types of relationship he addresses here? It is simple. Specifically calls out the relationship with unbelievers, government and authorities, our bosses, our co-workers, husband and wives, other believers, and the leaders that God has placed over us. Relationships are the biggest part of life. And if you want to preach the message of the gospel with your life, start working, mending relationship, reconciling, and healing the broken relationships in your life. As people observe your relationships, they can see that you are different because you offer supernatural love. Your eternal perspective allows you to approach them with a servant heart. As Christians, our relationships are not about getting what we deserve, but rather is about us giving to others the same way that Jesus has given to you and I. Let me conclude the sermon with this. We proclaim Jesus, his life, his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection by joining God in his mission and fulfilling our unique purpose in the mission of God. The church is sent with the good news of Jesus' birth, which is part of God's plan of saving everyone. We, the church, have a unique role in knowing and following Christ and proclaim the assurance that it is in the name of Jesus, the assurance of forgiveness, of a new life for those who repent and believe. The Spirit calls all members to embrace God's mission in their neighborhood and in the world. We are called to make amendments to people, to heal and reconcile, to feed the hungry, to bring water to the thirst, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick and free the prisoner. We repent for not doing that and joining God in what Jesus proclaimed on Luke 4, chapter 18. As you live here today, remember that God is a revolutionary God, turning our lives upside down. As Christ followers, we are asked to join God in his mission, which is contrary to the world. We ought to join Jesus and to observe what he said and to embrace what he said on Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So I want to finish reading again that, but personalize and put it upon you. Delaware Christian Church, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because God himself, he has anointed you to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, to recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressor free, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. God has anointed you and I to bring healing and restoration to this broken world.